honestly don't remember how we first heard the rumor. It's one of these things that just floats around the floor of the Texas House when the legislature is in session. There's a million and one rumors every day about all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And some stuff sounds plausible, and some stuff sounds plausible and should be checked out. And this seemed like a plausible rumor because we knew that, you know, they were having this really contentious debate over school vouchers. And we knew that the then Speaker of the House, Tom Craddock, had been pulling Republicans off the floor into the back hall and into his office to basically twist their arms and pressure them to vote for this bill. And so we heard this rumor that James Leininger, this really prolific Republican campaign contributor, was back there too. And he was following the debate from the back hall, and he was back there talking to Republicans. So given all that, and we knew that Leininger, you know, was really fired up about vouchers, he still is. So it seemed plausible, so we wanted to check it out. And the problem was nobody had seen him back there. We couldn't get any confirmation. We kept asking people who were in the back hall, have you seen Leininger, have you seen Leininger? And no one had. So it took a day or two, or maybe, it was later that day. And we came up with the idea that there's a security camera in the back hallway. And if Leininger was there, he should be on the security footage. So we just filed an open records request for that security footage. And that's how the whole thing got started.
And you stated in the article that Texas is one of the strongest public information statutes in the country. What makes it so strong, and how does it compare with the other states? And then also, how does that assist you in doing your job as a journalist?
Well, we'll take the last part first. It's a huge, or it's a tremendously important tool. I almost can't imagine at this point doing reporting without the kind of public information law we have in Texas. In fact, I'll give you a quick anecdote. Probably 4 years ago, I was invited to speak at a journalism conference in Washington, and we were talking about open records, and during the question and answer period, a reporter from, I think it was Buffalo, New York, said that they were doing an investigation into school finance records or records of school officials, and asked how they could do that. And I said, well, just file a public records request for this document and that document. You can even ask for their emails if you want. And the response was, well, we're not allowed to do that. You know, New York doesn't have a Public Information Act that allows you to ask for those kinds of documents. And that was very surprising to me. I mean, it's just almost second nature at this point for reporters in Texas just to, if you're curious about something, fire off an open records request. So I really can't imagine, you know, doing the job without that. And it's just incredibly important for open government and for people knowing what goes on. You know, half the scandals that we've had probably wouldn't have existed without the public records law that we have. So what makes it so strong is just that, I think what makes it strong is the presumption that information is public, unless it's specifically mentioned in the law as being private or exempted, then it's presumed to be public. And that's what makes it strong. I mean, it has an incredibly strong backbone running through the law, that if you ask for a piece of information, unless it's mentioned specifically in the law, in the language, then it's presumed to be public. And if somebody thinks it's private, they have to go to court and argue why they think it's private. And that's exactly what happened in this case. And traditionally, Texas judges and courts and the Attorney General have sided with open government. When there have been disputes about whether something is public information or not, Texas judges and the Attorney General have traditionally said or lean toward making things public and open, because it contributes to an open society and an open dialogue. And that's one of the things that was kind of disturbing about this case, because that's not the outcome that we had.
And the Observer actually decided not to appeal the case to the Texas Supreme Court on the belief that it was unlikely to win and that a ruling would affect Texas statewide. Can you explain the conversations that took place within the Observer to reach that conclusion?
Well, we wanted to avoid a bad precedent. I mean, that's basically, that was the thinking. We won on the district court level. And so we were very optimistic that we would get a hold of the video. I mean, ultimately, the contents of the video were a lot less important than setting a precedent for open government. I mean, it turned out, we later found out that Leininger wasn't actually in the back hall. So we weren't so interested in actually seeing the video in this case, but it became a bigger argument and a bigger question about open government. And so when we lost in the appeals court, and we wanted to think about, well, what are the advantages and disadvantages of appealing to the Supreme Court? Realistically, yeah, given the makeup of the court, we didn't think we had a good chance to win, just based on the judges that are there and their previous opinions. So if we appealed to the Supreme Court, one, it was unlikely they were going to take the case. But if they did take it and ruled against us, then we would have set a very bad precedent. As it stands now, the appeals court ruling that we have only governs public buildings in basically central Texas, the Austin area, which is bad because it covers the Capitol. But if somebody wants a video from Houston City Hall, this ruling might guide a court, but it wouldn't necessarily restrict a court. It wouldn't set that precedent. So if we went to the Texas Supreme Court and lost, then it would expand this ruling across the entire state. So really, we didn't have much chance to win, we figured, and on the downside, we might set a bad precedent. So really, the likelihood was we would probably get a bad result, if any result. So we decided not to appeal. So, you know, it's a bad ruling, we think. I mean, it basically says that, I mean, you know, let's say that this is a narrow part of public information law, but it basically says that if somebody wants a video from a public building, they're probably not going to be able to get it. And there, you can think of lots of instances where a reporter or any member of the public would want video from a publicly funded security system in a public building. And now that's really in jeopardy, and it's very questionable whether that'll ever be made public unless the legislature clarifies the law and says specifically that videotapes like this and video footage is public, and I hope they will.
Will this be coming up in the next legislative session?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't know if any bills have been filed yet, but I hope somebody will file clarifying language, because it seemed pretty clear to us that when they passed this Homeland Security bill in 2003 that DPS used to keep this tape secret, when they passed this bill in 2003, you know, they didn't intend to keep the video footage secret. It was just kind of sloppy language, as often happens with the legislature. There was some sloppy language and some unintended consequences, and that's what we want. You know, that's what we've run into here, and I hope that they will clarify it next session.